Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me tonight is my co-host,
Chad Metz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news. Chad, would you like to inform the good people of our podcast where we just came from?
We just came from the movies.
Yes, Chad. And how many seats did our auditorium hold?
369.
And how many souls were inside of it, Chad? 368?
About 20.
I believe the appropriate count was 18 people.
Can't even give them the two. Yeah.
18 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have just returned from seeing Triple X.
This is all his fault.
The Return of Xander Cage.
This is all his fault.
Yes, this is all Vin Diesel's fault.
No. This is all your fault.
So, Chad, there was a lot to digest in this movie. It's a very fast-paced movie, very action-oriented. So, let's start with our good, our bad, and our not-so-good.
So, the good is that, one, it is fast. Before the movie started, I looked up the runtime, and it says 1 hour and 47 minutes, to which I said, This crap is almost 2 hours long. But in actuality, it's closer to 1 hour and 30, cutting off the credits.
Which are both at the beginning and the end.
Yeah. There's really like 10 minutes of credits in the beginning. Lord knows how many at the end, because we left after the picture credits. But yeah, it was like 1.5 hours, because yeah, I said that at like 7:20. We walked out the theater at like 9 o'clock. So that's good. Sitting there watching it, it felt like if you like 90s action movies, this very much felt like a 90s action movie.
Pre-9/11 action movie.
Yeah, I mean that all in the best way. I was sitting there watching it because I walked in like, I don't want to see this. Why am I here?
Couldn't even get a good Wolverine trailer.
I didn't get a good Wolverine. I got a whole bunch of trailers I already saw.
Including Transformers, Lord, The Last Night.
Burn the screen down when that sucker comes on. So I didn't get any good trailers. I didn't want to be there. I've never seen a Triple X movie. I counted on my hand how many physical movies I've seen physically in that I've seen. And it was only the first Fast and the Furious. And I ain't seen the rest of them things. So it's like, why am I here? And then as I'm watching it, I started getting lost in the 90s feel of it. I'm like, okay, this is just stupid action, and it feels familiar, so I'm cool. Also, Donnie Yen is my hero now. Between this and Force Awakens.
You mean Rogue One.
Rogue One. I watched this last weekend, and I didn't realize he was in it. He's in Blade 2. Like, yeah, I know he's old, and I know he's been around, but this is like the real introduction to him. He's my hero. I love Donnie Yen. He can do no wrong. Also, if you watch Game of Thrones, to see the Hound in here being a complete idiot. Because once I realized it was the Hound, I'm like, what? Because he is not the Hound in this. He is a moron. But he entertained me. So, that was good. All that was good. And then there's the ridiculous stuff, but I'll wait for that.
So, my good would be Becky. Becky is quite funny. She provides great comedic relief. And has good on-screen chemistry with Vin Diesel, which is quite funny. Look. The first thing I noticed about this film is the opening credits. A, the fact that there are credits before the movie starts, which is kind of different for a modern movie. But the other part of it is, this was a film produced by foreign production companies. This was not a film produced by, like, Warner Brothers, or, like, New Line, or Road Home, or, Focus Features, or Fox 2000, or Fox Searchlight.
I don't remember who it was. It's
a pair of Asian American production companies, and the bulk of the cast is Asian American, and the bulk of the locations are Taiwan and London and, you know, places and places such as this. This looks like a film, because I was wondering, you know, if you go and you look at the box office totals for both XXX and State of the Union, they're not great. So I was wondering how a studio greenlit a third XXX movie. I mean, I knew Vin Diesel had power and clout after, you know, making two Reddick movies and, you know,
all the Fast movies.
So I knew he had the clout to get a passion project done, which is kind of scary considering that guys like, you know, Martin Scorsese have trouble getting financing in Hollywood, and yet Vin Diesel wants to make a third XXX movie, and it works out. So that to me is what stood out first, that, like, this was a foreign studio-produced film that is distributed in the United States by somebody. So that tells me they're not giving a crap about what the domestic numbers look like. They are solely focused on the international market, and if the international market comes through for them, we are perfectly set up to go forward with more XXX movies.
And they made it very clear that if this makes money, we're getting more of these movies.
With kind of a feel of XXX's on the run.
Yeah.
You know, being hunted by their governments, which would be a unique thing. I also really liked the direction. This is the guy who was supposed to do G.I. Joe 3.
And I knew his name looked familiar.
He was the guy who was supposed to do G.I. Joe 3 and recently came out at a screener and said, yeah, I wanted to do Transformers Meet G.I. Joe, and they weren't ready yet for it.
Because they're idiots.
So that's why he backed away from the project. Vin came to him with this. He took this, and he can clearly do... I mean, he's not... he's not as good as... It's not Kingsman Secret Service level action.
No.
But it is still... The camera work is still really good. The close-ups work nicely. Some of the CGI is blotty, but, I mean, when you're dealing with the craziness that they're dealing with, I can understand some blottiness and some black lines and some clearly green screen work.
Yeah, the
whole airplane sequence at the end.
Yeah, the airplane thing is like, and they put that in the commercial. I've seen that before. I'm like, that really put me over the edge. Like, this is stupid. And
he's flying out of an airplane. Yes.
Yeah, that was clearly just terrible, but. Yeah.
But those are the things that caught my eye initially. Becky, the directing, and then of course just the fact that this feels like a direct. You know, there's been talk for years about a Hansel and Gretel sequel put on by, you know, a foreign company just because they, you know, it made a lot of money overseas. You know, if this is the case, I could very easily see it being a good test cut study for, you know, the Transformers rule, which is we don't care what we make domestically, we'll make all of it back internationally and be okay.
Yeah, I didn't look at the budget for this XXX. I did look up the box office for it, and it made like $277 worldwide. But like I think a little bit over half came from the foreign box office. So, if it makes anything over, I guess, two over there, they're like, we're getting more of these.
And Vin's more than happy to do them because they're showcases for his Vin Dieselness.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to that stuff later because there it definitely goes in one of these categories. But before we move on from the good, also.
Ice Cube.
I'm going to save Ice Cube for later. Not because of Ice Cube, but because of other things we did that were stupid. The Sniper Girl, whose real name is Ruby Rose. I only know her real name is because she came up on the short list to be Domino. And after seeing this, I'm like, Go ahead and make her Domino. I don't remember who else was up there, but go ahead and make her Domino. Thank you. Just do that.
Another thing I'd like to add to the good would be the side portfolios letting you know who everybody was.
Yes, because I...
Some of those were quite funny.
Besides them being humorous, I didn't know anybody's name except for Xander Cage, because everybody said Xander Cage a whole bunch. Even if his name wasn't in the title of the movie, you were going to know he's Xander Cage. I didn't know anybody else's name, but those sidebars were pretty good.
Neymar thinking that he is getting recruited for the Avengers. Ice Cube been waiting for a phone call since 2005.
Nine years.
Like that. Yeah, he's been waiting since 2005 for somebody to dial nine.
Yeah, I didn't. Again, because I've never seen these movies, I didn't know if that was a thing.
The Sam Jackson's character.
What was his?
Sam Jackson's character favorite karaoke song.
Ghost of karaoke song was.
It's a Wonderful World. It's a wonderful. What a wonderful world.
Yeah.
And then that's the song that's playing at the end at the funeral. When they're talking.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they paid off almost all of them, and they were really unique and fun, and gave you a good idea and a good sense of who everybody was. So I thought that was a nice touch. Yeah. Cheap way to do exposition.
So now we're going to the bad.
The not so good.
The not so good. Why do I want to go with not so good?
You have coherent thoughts.
Yeah, but everything else just seems like it's dumped into this bad part. Okay, I'll go with this. It's not so good. So, Vin Diesel. It just kind of ties into not so good, which I'll give you a spoiler on not so good. It's just the overall ridiculousness of this, the premise of this.
Okay, so we're just admitting spoilers. Like, this is a spoiler cast. Yeah, so.
I mean... I don't know what I'm really spoiling. If you know this is an action movie, and 5 minutes in, you know pretty much what's going to happen. There are some little twists, but it's not like it's an action movie with Vin Diesel. There's only so much that's going to happen. But the whole premise of the first one, from what I understand, is that this is all based off of. This was when extreme sports were big, so they made a super spy action hero set into the world of extreme sports, which works when your superstar action hero is like 26, not when he's 45. The beginning of this movie, when they went ahead and got my kill shot out of the way real quick, when he skied down this goddamn hill with no... There's no ice. There's no snow. I'll give you a little hint. Part of the thing with skiing is that, you know, the snow is wet, so it lets it slide. And the jungle is kind of dry, and it's not going to really work that way. But this son of a bitch, this ski down a hill, nothing but leaves and twigs. Not only did he ski down a hill, then he hops on a skateboard and flies down.
Which has the Triple X logo on it.
It does have Triple X logo on it. He apparently had a few of those. And he goes down this winding road on the hill real, real fast. Which is fine, because that does work in real life. Except, you know, you're going around curves and if there's a car. But we're going to ignore that there's no cars.
There was a car.
There was a car. He hitched a ride on the car, which again, that doesn't bother me. The bypassing of the other cars. I'll let you slide. But it's the whole fact that, yeah, I'm watching this, and while it does look cool, I'm also looking at a 45-year-old man on a skateboard. That is the inherent problem I have with this, is that the nature of him being an extreme sports person doing these super spy things. Now, they did get away from it, because pretty much after that scene, with the exception of the stupid bikes... which go clearly in the bad part. That's just bad. With the exception of the bikes, it was pretty much straightforward, like, I'm a big hulking action hero kind of dude. So, yeah, the genesis of XXX doesn't fit in with today.
Especially you mean Cool Runnings? His own personal luge around the mountain to get to the beach so that he can meet, so that he can bring cable TV to the
masses. Yeah, that's all it was. It was cable, it was just to watch
soccer. Satellite, yeah.
Which, it's fine to set him up as a character, except for the fact that...
It's followed by him having sex for like 13 minutes.
Well, again, that's part of the 90s feel of it. Is like, you know, 90s action heroes, they're like, every other scene, they gotta bang somebody. So, that was fine. That really, like, once that happened, I'm like, oh, this is the kind of thing. All right, I got you. But it's the extreme sports stuff that's no longer a thing with a 45-year-old man. Once that was out of the equation, we got to straight 90s action. I was like, okay, I'm cool with this.
Okay, so my not-so-good would be killing Sam Jackson in the first 5 minutes. I mean, I know that it's completely necessary to galvanize all of his little ex-babies that were running around everywhere.
No. At this point, they're really like the Avengers. They are random athletic, former athletic star Avengers in this universe.
All in their 40s.
Yeah, because by the end of this movie, spoilers, this is, Sam Jackson has caught a lot of quick checks.
RoboCop.
He put in more work for RoboCop than he did this movie. I mean, he showed up on set for 2 days, and that was only because they had to change location. That was it. And by the time we get to the end of this movie, when he comes back, he's full fledged. I ain't got an eye. I'm freaking naked. We're just going all the way. We're going all the way with this. The beginning starts with the guy thinking he's getting recruited to the Avengers. We get to the end, he's full-fledged Nick Fury, and he's got the guy to think he's being an Avenger, and he's all decked out in his new stuff, so he's got upgraded by S.H.I.E.L.D. We're there. Avengers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much little ex-babies. Yeah. You know. Oh, and the parallel with Coulson.
Yeah, because
Coulson had to die in order to bring the Avengers together. Yeah. Nick, you know, Sam Jackson had to die in order to, you know, bring the ex-babies together.
I mean, I was just like, the whole time I'm sitting there like, he's not dead. I know he's not dead. You're making this a really compelling argument that he's dead, because it would be really kind of crappy of you to bring him back at the end. But I think that's what you're going to do to me. And yes, when Vin Diesel was sitting up at the top of the church by himself, I'm like, he's coming through that door. And there he is.
And there's his eye patch.
Yeah, the eye patch, I was throwing off, like, and I saw it. But it wasn't until you said, like, he's got an eye patch. And I'm like, but he doesn't have, God damn it, they just went full of vengeance. They were just like, we don't care. We do not care.
Hey, Vin Diesel is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They both are. Why not? Like, hey, Marvel, are you going to stop us? Nope. Okay.
Not so impressed with Neymar's acting. I think he's a better soccer player than he is an actor.
Oh, that, which is why he said, like, all of, what, 5 things?
Yes, but again, he did kick a napkin container into somebody.
That was entertaining. I don't follow soccer, so it wasn't until they showed me at the end who he was that I got the first part actually made sense. And like, oh, okay, y'all are good. I give you that.
So that would be my not so good. That and the plot twist with the CIA.
Toni Collette.
Yeah.
When they first get together, he says, so, you did it. She did. So.
Well, no, technically she didn't do it.
The other guy did,
and she was just, she needed an excuse to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Wakanda falls from the sky, and the Avengers are there, and so the Avengers have to get blamed and registered. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, a CIA, a few people go get killed, and these XXX people are around, they get blamed for it, they have to be hunted down. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, so in this case, registration is substituted for death. So, tomato, tomato.
Yes, so with the parallel continues. So what is your not so good?
So, just the, again, I know I said this is like a 90s action movie, and most people are going to say, well, 90s action movies are ridiculous. Yes. However, they're ridiculous.
Except for Lethal Weapon 4. Lethal Weapon 4 is not very extreme.
No, it's not, but I still like it. I don't care what nobody says. This movie, however, like, the 90s action movie parts are very good, and then they decide to be like, no, we have to remind you that this is something different, and they do something completely and totally, like, stupid. Like, completely dumb.
You mean like people hanging from trees and still being assassins?
That I didn't mind, because I know that little the twisty thing that she did is actually a thing that people know how to do.
Yeah.
So when she fell from a tree doing that, I'm like, okay, that seemed like something she would know how to do. I know that's a real thing.
People who like to crash into things,
that again, he was just a moron. Taking a guy that's only discernible talents is being a DJ into not one, but several firefights just seems like just you brought him there strictly to go play some music. That is literally what they did. It's like, you stay with the boat, you be my eyes and snipe people out the sky, you go play some music. That's literally what happened. Like, no, that's dope. So you had that stupid thing, and then right after that, they have the standoff of the grenades, which I thought was kind of cool and fun and stuff. And for a second, I thought they just, like, forgot, just, like, totally, like, forgot they had grenades and were going to just completely skip over it. It was going to piss me off. But they kept them, and they had a nice little action scene. And they followed a nice action scene up with a motorcycle chase. Well, before a motorcycle chase, we got motorcycle boxing, where they're spinning out dirt bikes and punching people and doing roundhouse bike flips, which is a stretch, but I was going, like, you came off of this thing, I was going to let it go, and then it was the actual chase, and that is fine until they get to the water, and then they turn into, they go full mass mode, and the bike turns to a jet ski. Like, what? Not only does the bike turn into a jet ski, because this is a chase, like, Vin is chasing Donnie Yen knows these bikes, he turns into a jet ski, which is ridiculous all on his own. And then Vin, who's never had this bike before, is just like, oh, he can do it? Oh, I got it too. And then it's a freaking jet ski fight on dirt bikes. And then they go to...
wave after wave of nonstop action.
Oh, God. They literally race under waves. And that was some shoddy CGI there.
Flooded out their bikes.
Flooded out their bikes. Like... Vin floods it out first, because he goes clearly underwater. It got a nice shot of him getting back on the bike.
And coming up, emerging from the
ice. And just keep going, but nah, bro, that's not motors work. No, that's done. That's a nice shot, but what happens when you come up? You come up, the bike goes down. So, that kind of stuff. It was just like, there's just so much stupid, ridiculous stuff that I know they're going to do. Is, you know, the Fast and the Furious does this. But they get, you know, they can get away with it. Triple X, I'm not letting you slide on that. It's just dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But it's wrapped around some other things that I like, so I'm not going to completely hate you.
Okay, so my not so good would be Tony Gonzalez. He needs to stay a retired Hall of Famer. The toilet joke at the end does work. Works for me.
So
the Hulk fists do not.
So the joke worked. The callback worked, and it would have been fine had it just stayed with him getting sucked out of the plane. But, you know, it's a 90s action movie, so he's got to have a zinger. And I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world. Maybe it's the way they frame the shot or whatever, but his little zinger at the end and the way it looked, I'm like, you killed it all. You killed it all. Once you got to the bathroom, I knew where this was going. You just had to flush him down there, and it would have been done. I would have been great, and you just killed it.
I knew it would take two flushes.
Why? Why? He's going. Just let him go.
What do you think of the technology? Hulk fist.
That was a bit much.
Hulk fist, signal jammers, grenade launchers.
Signal jammers.
A cell phone that only dials 9.
I like signal jammers, the cell phone thing. That's all fine with me. My thing with the signal jammer was she said in the movie, I can jam the signal as long as he doesn't pick another satellite. Then why the hell didn't he just pick another satellite? Like, oh, this was not working. Next. This is what you said.
Hey, at least you have a villain who's smart enough to put heat lamps everywhere so that they can't detect him with thermals.
When they got in there and I'm like, I realized they have heat lamps and they're just sweating. I'm like, why the hell does he have all these heat lamps? And then she says she's going to therm. I'm like, you're a smart guy. You're still going to die. I don't know how, but you're about to die.
Die by the reading between the lines.
Which, see, Vin had a lot of lame lines. That one actually paid off because he did the whole read between the lines thing. And I've heard that other places funnier. Coming from him was just like, you big dumb jock. This is just stupid. Don't try to be funny. But the callback of it was like, okay, I accept that lame joke for the callback we just had. So Ice Cube. Nothing about what Ice Cube did in this movie is bad. I'm not offended by it in any way. This is about the marketing of this. Because had I gone into this movie and not known Ice Cube was in it, and when that part happened, I've never seen these movies. I knew Ice Cube was in the second one. I had no idea he was going to be in the third one. They never let on anything. If I'd have sat there, he came out.
I would have had
a reaction.
We had thought for a while that they might be building in a sequel to the two. It's kind of like, you know, with the Bourne franchise, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy Renner is running around there, out there somewhere, because it was a Bourne program. There were multiple Bournes. When Damon said, I'm done, he walked away. They tried to continue it with Legacy. And Jeremy Renner, just like they tried, Diesel walks away, they try to continue it on with Ice Cube. Neither movie works. Franchise dies for a little while. So the idea was maybe if this movie is a success, then you could bring them back together and they could go out on a mission, just the same way with the Bournes. The Bournes could come together and do a team-up movie because those are all the rage post-Avengers. But the marketing campaign spoiled it, because if you don't see the commercials or know that Ice Cube's in the movie, that scene has a lot more tension to it, and you're wondering, how are they going to get out of this? The execution team is there to kill them. You know, they're out of bullets. They're down to 2 knives. How is this going to go down? But if you've seen the trailer, the TV spot with the commercial about the line about X always takes care of its own, then you know what happens next. And it kind of removes the tension from that moment.
Yeah, it was like last week. I didn't even watch the spot. But, everything, because we're in this space, everything I follow on Twitter was like, see the Ice Cube spot. I'm like, well, damn, why didn't y'all just hold on to that? And there was something I was watching. It had nothing to do with anything. And there was a spot for XXX. And like the first thing you see is Ice Cube. I'm like, why? Why are y'all doing this? Nobody liked the second one anyway. That's why it died.
XXX, State of the Union, baby.
Yeah. Nobody remember. People remember the first XXX. And I think you have to remind them that the second one happened. Because I don't know anybody that saw it.
We're talking about 2002 and 2005.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a long time ago.
Yeah. Almost 12 years ago for the Ice Cube one. And it's not a... It's not at the point where it's on TV a lot, so nobody really knows. But if they didn't know and they show up and see it in this movie, they're like, oh yeah, and they'll get excited. And then they'll probably get excited to see more. But
Go back and watch State of the Union.
I ain't doing that.
No. But so I mean my bad would be Tony Gonzalez. My bad would also be the twist at the end, like I said, I just, like, really, you didn't need the double switcheroo. You could have just gone with they stopped the guy and got away, and now they're, you know, everybody's back to being together. Not a fan of the music choices. Didn't think the music choices and the music cues worked very well for me. Although it is mostly, again, techno foreign music.
I'm trying to think of, the only one I remember is when the first time we see the Hound. And that's because I know that song and I like it. It was Barry White, so it was fine.
The party scene doesn't work for me. Because, again, you're building to the girl, and this movie, I'm sorry, I just don't know character names, but she, you know, they're all exes, right? We find that out at the party, that they were all former triple exes. So, they all were recruited by Sam Jackson's character, and him and her, the girl and Danny Yen are working together at the beginning of the movie. And Xander comes aboard for this party and figures out that they are all former exes. And the girl and Danny Yen are, you know, at odds about how best to proceed with Pandora's Box, which is the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that Vin Diesel has chemistry with a lot of people. And I thought that her chemistry worked well, but there were things that I didn't need, like the tattoo scene. Like, there's not really a need for that. Like,
I mean, I got what they're going for. They're trying to, like, build on their chemistry, but they really, yeah, you're right, they didn't really need it.
They didn't need that. You know, I liked the little moments that she had with the blue hair girl. About, you know, this is generally where you tell me that I don't belong. This is generally the moment where I give you the gun and say I need backup. Yeah. You know, those were nice. But overall, I think that they have the Marvel problem. Their villain is not very good. And, you know, the intrigue and the constant switching. I mean, I always made it was always a joke for me about 24. And, you know, I'm a huge 24 fan. Been a fan since day one, hour one, November 2001. I am to the moon frustrated with the fact that we're turning it over to 24 Legacy. And we've got to give it over to somebody new. And yet we've, midway through production, figured out that fans aren't happy. So we got to bring somebody else from the old series in to kind of smooth things over. But the joke of 24 was always, well, it's a 24-hour episode show, and each show is 1 hour. And the joke was always, you'd have that first villain for that first 10 hours. You'd have that second villain for those middle hours. And, like, episodes 20 through 24, that would be the real bad guy. And, like, that was kind of the thing here. It's like, okay, for the first half of the movie, you think it's Danny Yen.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the beach party onward, you realize it's not Danny Yen, it's this CIA director. When they're all on board the plane, they have the exposition machine, they target, figure, you know, put a little marker circle around him. That's who it is. So they go after him, they get him. He gets a bullet put through his head. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't the real bad guy. The real bad guy was the woman who was there all along from, mm-hmm. you know, like, didn't really need that, and none of the other two besides Danny Yen worked.
Yeah, I thought the way they were going, even once we get the CIA guy, it was still like, Danny Yen and Vin are both fine for that box still, and it's like, we're still gonna get something with Danny Yen, and then, no, we don't, they handcuff him, and then we get the last flip where it's Toni Collette's character is like, gonna kill them all.
Right. I mean, the fake conversation with the president and all that. I mean, I liked the Danny Yen, Vin Diesel dynamic. I feel like the idea of exes versus exes would be something I'd like to see. And I'm sure that, you know, when we get to XXX4, provided that the international markets hold up, that we'll get a rogue former ex who's helping hunt them down. But, you know, their version of the Maximals. But, you know, I didn't think that the triple villain was necessary. No. And the three twist was necessary. I just didn't think so. Especially for 90s action movies, which are so they're one-dimensional villain, but they're one villain, you know? They're not multi-tiered villains by any stretch.
I'd agree.
So, Chad, that leaves us with where this movie ends. With everything but Triple X's assemble. What is the future of the Triple X franchise? Should the international markets hold and this movie get greenlit for a sequel by its foreign creators? And by the way, if we're completely wrong about that, if we're completely wrong about it being foreign production companies, please let us know. But those names of those production companies outside of the distribution company that was distributing it here in the States looked like foreign companies, which would explain the setting, which would explain the heavy Asian casting. There are more Asians in this movie than in The Great Wall. And that is a problem.
Oh, that is true. That is so true.
That is a problem.
Let's see. So, it looks like we have a really big, huge team of exes.
You know they're going to come for you. They're going to come for us all.
Yeah, like their line, Ice Cube's line is, you know, we've pissed off a whole bunch of people, they're all going to come for us. The very next scene, they're all out in the open at Sam Jackson's character's funeral, which should be the last place they would all be. But, you know,
second funeral Sam Jackson's had in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's Vin's company. And they're it looks like they're all domestic. They're just, I recognize Revolution.
Yeah, Revolution is the distribution company that was over the franchise originally. They would be the domestic distributors.
So there's four production companies on there. There's Paramount, which was the main distributor. Then One Race, that's just Vin stuff. Then Revolution. And there's this one that I can't click on, which is Roth Kirschenbaum Films. I don't know what the hell it is. So, but
if I'm wrong about that, and about that being foreign distributors or foreign production companies, the thing remains the same. This is a heavily foreign targeted movie.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like they really care what they're gonna make domestically.
I don't know, they shouldn't.
And I mean, like I said, man, you know, you got more Asians in this movie Asian Americans that you have in this movie than The Great Wall.
Okay, I'm just going to read this. Okay. In an interview with Variety, published in January 2017, Diesel revealed that Paramount has already contacted him about returning for a fourth film, even going so far as to ask him if he and the other cast members will be willing to get to work sometime in May. All this movie's got to do is make a little bit of cash, and they're like, we're back on this, man.
So, let me get this straight. Between Diesel walking away and Ice Cube coming in, it was like 4 years. Like, 2002 to like 2005. It was like 3 years. And then, like, Ice Cube does his movie and we don't get another one for 12.
Yeah.
Then comes back and you're going to get not one, but two within the span of 2 years?
Yes. Yes.
Baby group money talks, I guess.
I guess. Hell, if that's the case, you know who your bad guy is. Just go ahead and grab Big Dave. Put him on in there. Why not?
Well, because the state of the Triple X universe seems to me to be that MI6 and and CIA and all of the national intelligence agencies all around the world are now going to be hunting for the X's. And the X's are going to be bound together trying to fight off the establishment.
That sounds about right.
So who do you get to be the establishment? Is there a new head of the CIA after all this corrupt thing goes on and, like, he tries to get the Pandora's box for himself so that for the country so that they can spy on people for some odd reason?
Because
it seemed to me like the only thing the Pandora's box could do was, like, drop satellites. They made it out like this was it was this all-powerful mega box, no pun intended.
But all they did was use this to drop
satellites. People. Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's destroyed. Hopefully it's destroyed. They need to just not revisit that at all. But yeah, bringing a new head of the CIA that's like, I don't know. Maybe they...
Kurt Russell?
We can't just straight up rip off Fast and Furious. I don't know who it would be, but they're like, you know, they still think the X's were to blame for all of this crap and... And they hunt them down. I don't know, but yeah, they don't have to do the physical stuff. They can be the person barking the orders and stuff, much like Kurt Russell in Fast and the Furious, but not Kurt Russell, somebody else. I would say a woman, but we just had one of those. So, well, hell, do another one.
Who cares? Dave Bautista.
No.
Dave's got to be an X.
Yeah, Dave's got to. No, he can't be X. Him and Vin can fight. So he can be the lead field agent for the CIA people and go out and him and Vin can fight because that's what has to happen.
I have a better idea. Mark Ruffalo is the new head of the CIA.
I can dig it.
With Batista as his muscle man, as his own personal Mr. Hinks.
I can get with that.
Then you have the Hulk and Drax against Baby Groot. And the guy from Friday.
Alright. Works for me.
Nick Fury, the guy from Friday, and Baby Groot versus...
We gotta get Ice Cube in the Superior franchise now. He's the only one left out.
Hey, there's your next Blade. Wesley Snipes doesn't want to do it.
No, man. No. I don't know who I want Ice Cube to be, but no.
Spawn?
No. I don't.
I'm surprised Ice Cube didn't land on the Black Panther set somewhere.
It ain't too late. They still got some time.
I mean, it is the most stacked cast in history. So, your overall thoughts on Triple X, the return. Was it a successful return for Xander Cage?
I mean, considering I never saw The Maiden Voyage, I guess it was. This movie is...
fun. Dumb fun.
It is.
In a time period with what is going on in the world right now, we need dumb fun.
I don't know if it's pay for it, dumb fun. But
you didn't.
I didn't, because yes, I wasn't going to
escapism.
But if it was just on, I would sit there and watch it.
It is something that if it's on, that's how the original two were. The original two were if it was on HBO at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, you would watch it. It's not. Something where it's like there's gonna be the Triple X box set and I'm gonna get all kinds of cool art with my Triple X box set.
But you know that's coming, right?
No, it's not. But
okay.
There will be a Blu-ray, a DVD, and that will be it. But like it was never designed to be a huge box office thing.
No.
And it
was twice in January.
Right. So you know, we're now through this. It'll make decent money. It won't win the weekend.
Yeah, I doubt that, yeah.
You know, we now live in a world where Donnie Yen has The Force Awakens, has Rogue One money.
Yeah.
So he can afford to come back in May to do another Triple X.
Yeah, he's a lot older than I thought he was. I thought he was in his 40s. He's 53.
Mm-hmm. Ben's not that young either.
Yeah, I'm like,
certainly not young enough to be making love to bikini models in Bora Bora or where, or well, Panama or where, Brazil well, or wherever they were.
Well, I believe that actually, just because, you know, he's Ben and he's big and he's got money. So, yeah. Now, Triple X getting offered up all that he got, not so much.
Especially in London.
Yes, especially in London. Ben will be 50 this year. So it was not a 45-year-old man. It was a that means it was borderline inappropriate for him doing it the first movie. He was what?
2002?
That was what? 15, almost 15 years ago? So he would have been
35?
That's my age. Hell no. I'm not skateboarding down there. No! He looked younger, but still, no. That was inappropriate then. You just got away with it. Now, no.
And now he's surfing. Now he's on a bike, which he randomly picked up from another person, which has Zet jet skis on it.
You old enough to be somebody's grandpa. Skate. No. Go sit down.
Bad grandpa.
Whatever. Make your money, but stop skateboarding. You get rid of the extreme sport stuff.
I mean, this is the height of the X Games culture, 2002.
Yeah, and it fit then, and he looked younger then, so it all worked. Now, he looks like somebody, Grandpa, trying to do something like, oh, y'all want to see something? When I was your age, this is what we used to do.
I was skateboarding off a bus.
Yeah. Well, see, I got it. Let's do it. That's what this looks like.
You know, the crazy part is those townspeople seem like they see it every day.
Yeah, they were all like, stand there, high fives. So, how many times he's had to go steal satellite cable for them? I mean, it looks like you should only have to do it once. But apparently that's the thing he has to do.
Yeah, yeah. DEFCON 1.
What do they do? Eat the other box? Like, it's an electronic thing. Does it, like, burn up, like, Mission Impossible style? He should only have to do this once. But apparently that's not what happens.
Only when there are soccer matches on.
Only. And if he's got to do that many times, he flipped off some security guards when he left the first time. Wouldn't they just like, nah, dude, we're going to stand in front of the thing this time and we'll shoot you. Instead of just like, he's stolen from you more than once. Just stop him. You know he's coming. Apparently, he only comes with soccer matches. Y'all live there. You know what it is. Guard the tower. Be done.
All the logic of a Triple X movie.
Yeah, yeah. I can do this all day.
Alrighty. So that'll about do it for this week's episode of the podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, keep up with this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at BCWTigerFan.
And at The Mets Theory.
Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening in the world of Xander Cage.